From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mock Report. It's the 17th day of February, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. And Mike Barwinski, a senior trader with Louis Dreyfus, will join us to take up the energy markets. In agricultural news, the U.S. is eyeing trade barriers thrown up by India. A bankruptcy judge says it's okay for Pilgrim's Pride to sell a grain elevator to ADM. And pork producer Smithfield plans to cut 1,800 jobs and close 6 factories this year. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, I'll remind you of the Great Big Bull Sale slated for 11 o'clock Thursday on the Illinois State Fairgrounds in Springfield. And in just 26 minutes, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us, won't you, for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL Public Radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon. Futures from the wheat pit there. Down 20 cents for the nearby soft red at 515 and a half. The May at 528. Down 20 and a quarter in July wheat at 540 and a quarter. 20 and a half cents lower in Kansas City. The nearby contract finished 23 and three quarters at 550 and three quarters for the hard red March contract. Futures in Chicago for the corn pit at 349 and a quarter. In the March, down 14 cents. May at 359, down 14 and a quarter. In July, corn 368 and three quarters, 14 and a half cents lower. September futures down 14 and three quarters at 378 and a half. And your December new crop at $3.90 and a quarter a bushel, down 15 and a quarter. Crude oil futures are off 258 at this hour, and the ethanol down 5 and just about a half cent at $1.54 and a tenth. Soybean futures, March contract, $9.03, down 52 and a half. May at 904 and a half, 53 and a quarter lower. And July down 54 at $9.08. August at 898 and a half, down 51 and a half. And November beans, 39 and a half cents lower at $8.53. March bean meal down $14.20 at $283.50. The May bean meal at $281, down $14. Bean oil, $1.85 lower at $31.15. For the March, the May at $31.48, down $1.86. Feb live cattle, $2.80 lower at $81.25. March feeders at $91.62 and a half, down $2.85 as well. And the lean hogs, $2.70 lower at $61 and a nickel. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures are down $2.85, or rather 58 cents at this time, at $34.93 a barrel. April futures at $38.54, or $3.43 lower. March ethanol at $1.54 and a tenth, down 5 and 4 tenths. April at $1.54 even, 4 and 8 tenths lower. Natural gas at $4.19 and 4 tenths, 25 and 8 tenths lower. The RBOB gasoline at $1.11 and 6 tenths, down 9 cents. And the heating oil futures 11 and 3 tenths of a cent lower at $1.18 and 7 tenths for the nearby March contract. Propane futures are up 7 tenths of a cent, that is, at 67 and 3 tenths. And the gold futures at $967, or 25 points higher at this hour. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 253 points at 75.96. The U.S. dollar at 87.58. That's down, or rather up 0.9 for the day. And the CRB index at 203.25 is down 9.89 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like at this hour from our own Mike Sola. Weather forecaster says, tonight, mostly cloudy skies, scattered showers, isolated thunderstorms. Those thunderstorms will be most numerous in the south and northern sections. Some sleet, snow, freezing rain will mix with rain. Lows will range from 32 in the north to 44 in the south this evening. And then tomorrow, sky should be cloudy. It'll be windy, turning colder. In southern and central sections, scattered showers in the north, rain mixed with snow early, changing to light snow during the afternoon. Highs will range from 36 in northwestern Illinois to 58 in the far south tomorrow afternoon. Temps will remain below average for much of the next 2 weeks, and there will be a few moderate days before the close of the month, but any extended warming trend will hold off until the month of March. You're listening to WILL AM 580.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the University of Illinois campus in Urbana-Champaign. On a Tuesday afternoon, time to check the agricultural marketplace. And Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, is with us this afternoon. Hi, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
Getting geared up for a big run to Terre Haute tonight?
Hey, we're going to be heading that way just shortly here when we get done on the radio. But I don't know if I'm looking forward to it or not. I'm going to have a lot of unhappy faces in the crowd, I think. What do you?
Well, I think you know, if you have 50, 60 cents down in the soybeans, not quite 60 at the end of the day, but if you get that much down in the beans and you got the corn market down as much as it is, there'll probably be a lot of questions as to whether they missed everything or not. What do you think?
Well, I'm afraid that's going to be the question, whether do I sell now or do I hold for a bounce? And that is the $64 million question, Todd. As you know, we did go down and hit that 899 was the projected Fibonacci low for a turn to make here. So some of the Elliott Wave people are thinking along the way that this could be the bottom and could be something going on that way. But as we look at the outside markets, they sure don't call for a rally, do they? I mean, looking at crude oil down 253, looking at the dollar rallying about a dollar today, or a full penny, however you want to look at it, a percent anyhow, and the Dow Jones down about 200 points, the outside economic conditions are not favorable at all.
Yeah, Wayne, does this mostly all have to do with the price of crude and the drop in the Dow and everybody getting scared again? Is that what's happening?
Well, you know, we don't. The world doesn't seem to feel our stimulus package is what it needs to be. It doesn't look to be creating jobs and money moving as fast as a lot of the world had expected our new president possibly get done. And that's one of the things. The Japanese finance minister resigning today didn't help anything either, because you have to remember Japan is one of our best and good customers that regularly buys on a regular basis. So that, but the export numbers today are actually quite good. So, a little bit of fundamental news was positive today, Todd.
Well, we aren't down at the bottom at this point yet. For a while. So I guess that there seems to mean that there may be some health left in the marketplace. How would we know that that's the case? What are you be looking for?
Well, I think, you know, number one, we need to see a little stabilization down at these levels, a little bounce back, a little stabilization as far as the crude oil market goes, and to see the Dow Jones level off just a little bit that way. All those things would help us immensely, Todd. I think that, we've got the idea that the economic package around the world is not reacting good to us at this point in time. And I think that, if we just see a little stabilization here, it would help immensely.
Well, what are you telling producers when they call in and they're asking, well, should I go ahead and sell or do I hang on at this time?
Very hard question, but we will answer you how we answered the customers today. If you haven't done anything, we know that some of the broad-based advisory services pushed their corn sales for 09 another 10% today. If they have nothing on, if they got old crop stuff with the basis being tight, maybe you're going to be moving a little bit of cash grain here now just for cash flows and start putting all of our focus on next year's marketing and along the way. But we do have some hope for, a little bit of a rebound somewhere down the line here. But the outside markets do make us very nervous, very nervous.
Well, I guess you'll have a big room tonight to fill up and talk about, I think. You'll be where? At the Holiday Inn?
The Holiday Inn. They're just right by Route 70, and we hope to see a lot of friendly, smiling faces that we've seen many times down at Terre Haute meetings. Kay, just down the street down there, I think she's going to stop in and say hi to us and talk to her. So, looking forward to seeing a lot of the old familiar faces and love to say hi to you in person this evening.
Well, you tell Kay Whitlock that when she comes, she's with Terre Haute Grain Air, that we miss her here on the air and wish her the best of luck in whatever she's doing at this point. I think she's taking it easy, actually. So
She told me she's supposedly semi-retired but comes in by 9 o'clock and supposedly by 4, that turns out to be 5:30.
So. Well, that's the way it goes. Well, tell her we miss her on the air on Wednesday afternoons. Anytime she wants to come back, we'll take her back in some form. But say hi to her when you're there tonight. Dave Dickey will be with you. That's at 7 o'clock at Terre Haute. at the Holiday Inn. Sherman Newland will be there from Risk Management Commodities. Of course, you, Wayne, will be there from L&M, and Brian Maple from FC Stone out of Indianapolis. So have a good evening there, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday, okay?
All right. Thank you, Todd.
Thanks much. Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens on Tuesday afternoons.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Make sure you visit our website at willag.org. There you can hear this program again if you'd like. You can also hear it on the radio station in the afternoons. And if you miss both of those and just want to dial this number, 217-333-3434, we'll post a portion of it there by 3:15 in the afternoon. We post an opening there as well with the markets and a little analysis at about 10:30. That's 217-333-3434, 333-3434. Dave Dickey's here now with the Ag News for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, the United States is preparing to take a closer look at the barriers to trade already being used by India. The Senate Finance Committee, which has jurisdiction over U.S. trade and tax policies, has requested that the U.S. International Trade Commission undertake an investigation of the effects of India's tariff and non-tariff measures on U.S. agricultural exports. A completed report will be sent to the Finance Committee in mid-November. A bankruptcy judge says that Pilgrim's Pride can sell its stake in a grain elevator business to joint venture partner Archer Daniels Midland Company. Pilgrim's Pride opted to sell its stake to ADM, which has a right of refusal to any deal, after the business drew just a single offer from a grain vendor. Pork producer Smithfield Foods today says it plans to cut 1,800 jobs and close 6 factories as part of a restructuring. The plants are expected to close by December. Smithfield will combine 7 of its independent operating companies into 3 main units: the Smithfield Packing Company, John Morrill and Company, and Farmland Foods Incorporated. The company plans to save $125 million a year by 2011. Walmart Stores, the world's largest retailer, today says that its fourth quarter profit fell 7.4% as it was hurt by the strong dollar and a charge from settling a labor lawsuit. The company also says that first quarter earnings could miss Wall Street expectations. The Bentonville, Arkansas-based discounter earned $3.79 billion, or 96 cents per share, in the quarter ending January 31st. That compares with $4.096 billion, or $1.02 per share, a year earlier. Analysts had expected the company to earn 99 cents per share. The Chicago Board of Trade has received U.S. government approval to limit cash grain delivery instruments held by non-grain firms. The move is designed to enhance the hedging effectiveness of CBOT's benchmark wheat, corn, rice, oats, soybeans, soy meal, and soy oil contracts. The rule change, to be phased in today, limits the number of certificates or receipts anyone can hold to the spot month speculative position limit. And Gary Gensler, the former Treasury official who was nominated to chair the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, will go before the Senate Agriculture Committee on February 25th for his confirmation hearing. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. You can find both of those programs and other agricultural programming up on our website at willag.org. You'll also find a list of all the ag panels, including the one that's coming up tonight in Terre Haute there. That's at WILLAG.org. More on that ag panel a bit later in the program. But right now, I'd like to remind you that we're starting something a bit new here at the radio station. It's our Farmer Appreciation segment. We'd like to thank you for farming for all the years that you've been there, starting at your 25th anniversary and working up on the 5 years after that. Send us a note about the time of your birthday when you're at 25, 30, 35, 40, and on up, or if it's your very first year, or your retirement, or very last year. We'd like to know so we can say thanks for farming to all of our listeners to the programming here at the Closing Market Report. You can send it to me at 217-333-0850 or at willagstaff@illinois.edu. Now, up next, the Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale is this coming Thursday in Springfield at the State Fairgrounds. I'll have more on the 11 o'clock auction. The Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale is the lead-off event for the Illinois Beef Expo. It will be the 41st IPT Bull Sale, says the manager and University of Illinois Extension Animal Systems team educator Dave Seibert.
An Illinois Performance Tested Bull is one that is raised in Illinois. It remains on the farm, in the producer's herd. All the data, meaning birth, weaning, yearling, scan information, on and on, is processed through the breed association. So thus, it just becomes part of that breed database, and thus we can compare it to all other animals within that breed in the United States. We set pretty high standards regarding minimum requirements on weight per day of age. We got a frame window, minimum scroll, minimum pelvic, and on down the line. So once they sift through and get to the sale, they usually are what I call pretty high standard and kind of meet our specs.
Well, that's a pretty good way to think about the 117 bulls already consigned to the sale. They have a set of specs, a bit like a farmer would read on a bag of seed corn.
I guess we can just look at the seed bag that we buy. The tag on it provides a lot of information about that seed corn. And it's the same thing in beef cattle. We can provide, you know, the same type of information that really tends to impact their cow-calf herd, starting all the way from conception, calving ease, growth potential, all the way through the end product, meaning the marbling and the size of the eye and that type of thing. So really, it's all about information anymore, and beef cattle selection is a very scientific venture right now. That really is driven by a thing we call EPDs, expected progeny difference, and that really says what's going to happen in the next generations.
Again, a bit like buying a bag of seed corn for the row crop farmer. The buyer is purchasing proven genetics with some expectation of final yield.
In the same way here, when you buy a herd sire, you're buying expectation of what those offspring calves will do and how they will perform and what type of end product they will produce.
Farmers and ranchers interested in the Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale should visit the website at iptbullsale.com or contact Dave Seibert in the Peoria, Illinois Extension Office. The 2009 IPT Bull Sale is set for Thursday, February the 19th, starts at 11 o'clock in the morning on the Illinois State Fairgrounds. There are 117 performance tested bulls cataloged, 83 are Angus, 33 Simmental, and one polled Hereford. They'll all go on the auction block. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agriculture Director Dave Dickey. Join us this evening at the Holiday Inn in Terre Haute, Indiana at 7 o'clock Eastern Time for another one of our free AM 580 Agricultural Outlook panels. No advance registration is required. And again, the meeting is free. Panelists include Sherman Newland of Risk Management Commodities, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, and Brian Maple of FC Stone & Company. That's at the Holiday Inn in Terre Haute, Indiana this evening at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. We hope to see you there.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural energy markets. And Mike Barwinski, a senior trader out of Louis Dreyfus in Chicago, joins us this afternoon. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Todd. How are you doing?
Oh, you know, it's not it's gray here, but I'm really happy this afternoon, despite the big sell-off we've had in the marketplace. I think it's been a pretty happy day, although I'm a pretty good guy, so I guess that's the way it goes. Are you all happy out there, or are you watching this market tumble away on you?
Well, you know, watching the market tumble, but, I mean, everything's just down today. There's really no sign of a up market anywhere, so... I mean, you know, there are days like this and there are days when everything's up, so you got to take the good with the bad.
Well, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, and we'll talk about the market, but can we talk about Verisun just a bit and the bankruptcy there and what Louis Dreyfus and you folks talk about and how you see that and how you see the capacity that they have being purchased and whether it's purchased by big folks or little folks, you don't have to name any buyers, but how that goes through the system and whether that capacity maintains how many 100 million gallon facilities they have and how many 40s and whether the small ones get bought or lost and closed. What kinds of things do you talk about there?
I mean, you look at it as a whole generally. I mean, Valero obviously came in with the stalking horse bid, so kind of put a bottom to what the plants are worth, which is about, I guess, 50 cents a gallon is the bottom price, which Valero put in. So you kind of use that as a base point. And, I mean, look at the forward cash flows, if you think, if it's able to pay itself off over a certain amount of time. And then more importantly, I guess, just the regional economics. So obviously, a plant in Iowa is going to have to compete a lot more for corn than a plant in, say, Michigan or in North or South Dakota. So you start off with that, and then you just kind of have to base what plants you're looking at, you know, what the economics are for, and then who you may be competing against when you start looking at these individual plants.
Well, is there talk then that you think that some of the plants would not make it through the process and simply fold?
No, I think all the plants will be bought. Whether or not some of the plants actually run again is questionable, but I do think... for example, like Valero put out a bid for X number of plants. You know, whether they run all of them or they don't run one of them is in question. But I think the majority of the plants that are get all of them, all 16 plants will get bought, whether they all run or not is pretty uncertain. I think the majority of them will run at full capacity again, though.
Is the ethanol plant you operate doing better or worse at this point? Is it easier to make it make money or to lose less or whatever it is doing?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a harder environment, that's for sure. And the idea that you'll add another, this 1.5 billion gallons back in to the supply chain won't help things. But, you know, then again, ethanol blend margins into markets such as the Southeast are starting to improve, so you might actually you're actually increasing a little bit of demand here, slowly but surely. As far as the long term viewpoint, Q2 forward 2009 through 2010, you're starting to reach points where the government's mandates kind of balance things out a bit. So you're just trying to reach an equilibrium point.
And finally, do you think that the government should increase the blend wall to go up to 12%?
I think it'll definitely help plants like myself. I don't think it's going to happen personally in the next year or so. I think that the legislative process is too long, but it's definitely something that's going to happen in the next 3 or 4 years.
Okay, thanks much, Mike.
All right, you're welcome. Thank you.
Mike Barwinski is with Louis Dreyfus, joins us on a Wednesday afternoon right here on the Closing Market Report. Back in two with the agricultural weather forecast.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. A transcript of a conversation between reporters and Illinois Senator Roland Burris suggests that Burris did try to raise money for now former Governor Raul Blagojevich as he applied for the Senate seat. In the transcript on the Chicago Tribune's website, Burris said he talked to some friends about putting together a fundraiser after being called by the ex-governor's brother. But Burris says he told Rob Blagojevich shortly after the November election that he couldn't get any friends to contribute and suggested he might be able to find others.
Burris testified last month to a committee that recommended impeaching Rod Blagojevich, that he had not only told only one Blagojevich associate he was interested in being senator. But he released an affidavit over the weekend indicating he had spoken to four other people, including the calls from Rob Blagojevich. Meanwhile, Burris's testimony in the impeachment trial against the former governor has been turned over to the Sangamon County State's Attorney. Burris's admission that he talked to the governor's aides raised questions about whether he committed perjury during those hearings. Madigan today released a letter to Sangamon County State's Attorney John Schmidt indicating that he was referring a transcript of Burris's testimony and two affidavits that Burris submitted. Schmidt hasn't returned a call seeking comment. A roofing contractor in Ford County faces a lawsuit from the state. Attorney General Lisa Madigan says her office is suing Brian Brandon and his two companies for nearly $19,000, plus fines. Officials accuse Brandon of taking down payments from at least seven customers and then either not performing the work or doing a substandard job. Brandon has not been available for comment. A contract nurse has been charged with stealing $7,000 of items from residents at Savoy's Carl Arbers Nursing Home. County Sheriff's Police say Andrew McDevitt of Charleston faces a charge of burglary. Several thefts are reported at the facility in January. State Senate President John Cullerton thinks Illinois should sell lottery tickets online to boost state income. He says online sales could bring in new customers, particularly when a big jackpot attracts impulse buyers. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a production of public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Time to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us as usual on a Tuesday. Hi, Don.
Hey there. How are you?
Oh, I'm very well on a Tuesday. Let me know what the weather's going to be like. It's been warm, but sure looks like it's going to be a little wet.
Yeah, it's going to be getting wet, and then it's going to be getting colder. System coming pretty quickly out of the western high plains will be moving through the Corn Belt Midwest tonight and into Wednesday ahead of it. Areas of rain showers, some thunderstorms down in the southeast United States. And then on the backside of it, there'll be a pretty good wedge of cold air, so some of the showers will turn over to snow, although this is a real quick mover tide. So we're not expecting it to produce significant snow, but light snow and certainly colder temperatures will be coming on in behind the system.
It doesn't sound like there'll be too bad of weather, and pretty par for the course, I suppose, for February and headed into the month of March. It could either be snow or rain, but it's cool nonetheless. What do we have in other parts of the nation we ought to be keeping track of?
Well, it's going to be busy across most of the nation this week with the system coming through the west. The west coast has seen quite a bit of rain and high country snow. That's going to be good news for the high country, the high Sierras of California, to help build up their snowpack and the snowpack in the Rockies. But one area of the country that continues to get missed is those southern plains areas, Oklahoma, portions of Kansas and Texas. While they have gotten moisture over the last week and a half, we continue to see storms just go around that area, and that trend's going to continue. But from what we're seeing, looking ahead the next week or two, we're going to see several weather systems cross the country. So there's going to be ample opportunity for many areas of the nation, except those southern plains, to get precipitation and to see fluctuating temperatures.
How much are they suffering for dryness at this time?
Well, there's the driest areas are certainly in central and west Texas. We've got soil moisture profiles that are as much as 200% below normal in some areas.
Wow, that reminds me of South America a bit. How are they doing, speaking of them?
Well, they're a little more wet. The chances for rain look a lot better, especially in the dry areas of Brazil and some areas of Argentina. Although Argentina and the central and southern areas, central and southern growing areas of South America, going to be a little bit warmer than normal.
Any other place around the globe we ought to check in on? Maybe India and what they've been doing with their winter wheat crop there?
Well, first of all, for India, they are looking at a dry forecast. They've been dry in all of India, looking to see very dry conditions for next week to 10 days and above normal temperatures. So they could use some moisture there. If we were to look at the moisture profile in India, we see that most of the nation has soil moisture that's anywhere from about 2 to 4 centimeters below normal. So most of that country is dry. Over in China, a little bit of a different story. They've got some wetter conditions in the central and eastern areas. Portions of China have suffered some drought this winter, especially in western areas of China. And in those areas, it is going to be drier.
All right. Thanks much. We appreciate you being with us for the day.
Thank you.
Yeah, Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear what he had to say again, you can always do it at our website. The address is willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G.org. Have a safe afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.